one down, be a little bit quiet. Of course, you can always move up closer. That's always an option now.
I can do one more run.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. Would you stand with me for reading God's word? Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. God, as we look into your word, Father, God, may we just draw close to you, Lord God. God, may we receive all that you have for us this morning, Lord God. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I start, I want to pick up on what Krista said about the prophetic words. How many have had prophetic words spoken over you? How many do you remember? How many have them written down? Or on tape? Well, here's the deal. I want you to begin to go back over. We're in a new season. We're coming into a new season. I believe we are in a Kairos moment. So I want you to begin to rehearse what God's spoken over your life. Begin to declare and decree those things. Just seek God for all that he has for us. He has a destiny for each one of us. He has things for us to be doing. Come on. And I believe if we will go back and rehearse, even write down. And as you're rehearsing them, as you're writing them down, listen for what God is speaking to you now. I mean, it's exciting. I'm excited. You guys aren't excited. I don't hear a word. You should be excited. Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. Absolutely. You know, we live in a world that is without hope. They're in darkness. And they need somebody to share the gospel with them. They need somebody to present the gospel, to demonstrate the gospel, not just in word, but in word and deed. We're to be like Jesus, right? How many are followers of Jesus? Come on. How many are... Do you know what it means to be a follower of Jesus? You've heard the saying about a son following in the footsteps of his father. What does that mean? Doing the same things, right? So if we're followers of Jesus, we should be doing the same thing Jesus done. After all, he said, "These things and greater things shall you do in my name." Now how many is excited? Yeah. How many are ready to do those great things?
Yeah.
Amen.
How many know that there are people desperately in need of everything that Jesus taught and done? Absolutely. Now we'll get back to where we started. Going to look at the word rest. Now rest in the Bible is spoken about 380 times. Must be pretty important, right? In the Old Testament, 322 of those times. New Testament, 58 times rest, or rest is in the word somewhere. The Bible is a unified book. Amen? There's some differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In many ways, they're complementary. The Old Testament is foundational. The Old Testament is the foundation. So you need to understand the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Amen? The New Testament builds on that foundation with further revelation from God. The Old Testament establishes principles that are seen to be illustrative in the New Testament. The Old Testament saw paradise lost for Adam. The New Testament shows how paradise is regained through the second Adam, Christ. The Old Testament declares that man was separated from God through sin, Genesis 3. And the New Testament declares that man can be restored in his relationship to God, Romans 3, 6. The Old Testament predicted the Messiah's life. The Gospels record Jesus' life, and the epistles interpret his life and how we are to respond to all that he's done. The Old Testament lays the foundation for the coming of the Messiah who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, 1 John 2:2. The New Testament records the ministry of Jesus Christ and then looks back on what he did and how we are to respond. Both testaments reveal the same holy, merciful, and righteous God who condemns sin but desires to save sinners through an atoning sacrifice. In both testaments, God reveals himself to us and shows us how we are to come to him through faith. Genesis 15:6 and Ephesians 2:8. All scripture is God-breathed, come on, meaning it came directly from God. Isn't that good? Every bit of scripture came directly from God. It came through people, different people wrote it down, but it came from God. So as you read your Bible, as you get into your Bible, God is speaking to us as we get into his word. The deeper we get into his word, the more revelation we get, the more we can hear his voice. Amen. The more we're fellowshipping when we're in his word, when we are, you know, just meditating on his word, just digesting his word. That's fellowship with God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Last Sunday evening we talked about the giant Goliath. If you was here, we talked about the giant Goliath. If you wasn't here, we still talked about the giant Goliath and other giants. We will all face some giants in our lives. Come on. It's called life. You know, many boys when they was in school, had to face a bully. Anybody ever been there? Been there, done that? Come on. Yeah. Some of the giants, maybe sickness, disease, injuries, financial problems, addictions, some of those giants we've created. Come on, through ignorance, bad choices, or lack of self-control. We don't like the giant, but sometimes we don't want to change. And so we don't get the victory. You know, a lot of people just want a little relief. Don't really want to change. Amen? Other times, the giants may be something you can't see, but they are just as real. Fear. It comes in a lot of different forms. Rejection. False accusation. Worry. Anxiety. Guilt. Shame. Depression. Insecurity, loneliness, and the list goes on. Some giants may have been around so long that it's que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We've just grown accustomed to them, and so now they're there. We don't even recognize them as giants. David faced a giant in the form of a bear. He faced another giant in the form of a lion. Come on. He faced Goliath. Come on. He even faced Saul. Saul was a giant in his life, right? Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Now that's a giant. Anybody ever been thrown into the lion's den? Maybe felt like it. How about Joshua and Caleb? They faced the giant, but their giant was unbelief of the whole nation of Israel. But they're all giants. But they all overcame their giants because they chose to believe God over their circumstances. Every time they passed the test, now get this, every time they passed a test, they got promoted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See, a lot of times we want promoted, but we don't want to face the giants. Well, glory to God, we can face those giants. Hallelujah. We serve a God that is bigger. Come on. He's bigger, he's mightier than any giant we will ever face. See, when we're facing the giants. What did David say about Goliath? Did he say, "You're defying me"? See, he turned it around. He said, "You're defying the living God of Israel." So when you're facing a giant, you can say, "You're not defying me, because who lives in us?
God."
Amen. Yes. So you're defying God. It's a little bit different, isn't it, when we
put that twist on there and look at what David said. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And God loved us so much. God is love. And God is so much love that it just flows out of him. Amen. Hallelujah. God loved the whole world so much God created the whole world. God created everything in the world. Do you think God was going to turn his back on his creation? Are we his creation? Do you think God's going to turn his back on you? God loved the whole world so much that his desire is for the whole world, everybody, to be in heaven with him. It's his will that none perish. So when you're out there, you know, sharing the gospel with people, you're presenting God to the people. So when we face giants, when we go through life, come on. How many is going to go through life? Right? Yeah, we're all going to go through life. And so we're going to have problems. You know, we'll have trials and tribulations and all that other stuff. So the first thing we need to recognize giants. A lot of times, we don't see things as giants. We just put up with stuff. Come on. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going through something. And you've heard people say that. I'm going through something. Well, tomorrow they're going to be going through something. The next day they're going to be going through something. And, you know, because they didn't face the giant. Didn't recognize it's a giant. Hallelujah. Know that it's God's will for you to have dominion over the giants. In Genesis, God says that he has given us, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over everything that lives, that moves, whatever. Now think about what all that includes. If you were to put some disease under a microscope, you would see it move. Right? So Adam and Eve had dominion over everything that moved. Well, Adam and Eve lost dominion, but glory to God, glory to God, Jesus redeemed us so that we once again we're to have dominion just like Adam. Now, as you begin to look through your prophetic words over your life, remember dominion. If God's called you to be a healer, remember that you're to have dominion over every disease, every sickness. Realize you're not alone. David wasn't alone. It looked like he was alone. He had the whole army of Israel behind him. Now listen, if the army of Israel hadn't been behind him, the Philistines would have swarmed down on him. And he had the Lord with him. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? I like the way the Amplified puts it. If God is for us, who can be successful against us? And if you're a born-again Christian, if you are walking with God, if you are seeking God, He's for you. I'll tell you right now, He's for you. You need to confront and slay the giant. If it's sickness, battle that thing until it's gone. If it's disease, battle that thing. Don't stop. Don't give in. A lot of times, we don't get the victory because we don't fight it to the end. We go so far, and for one reason or another, we don't, just like David, put the stone in Goliath's head, and he went up and cut off his head. He finished what he started. There was no doubt. So we need to keep pressing in, keep seeking God, no matter what it is you're fighting, just keep in there. God's for you. You have brothers and sisters around you. You can call. You that will come into agreement with you. We call that the prayer of agreement. There's just so many good things that God has for us. How many have ever been in a battle? Come on. How many come out victorious? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God's called us to be victorious. God's called us to be warriors. Hallelujah. So you have God on your side, you have brothers and sisters on your side, and you have ministering angels. So you're not alone. I'm not alone. As a matter of fact, there's more for us than are against us. Now understand that it's God's will for you to enter into His rest during the battle. There's that word rest. It's God's will that you enter into the rest during the battle. Not when the battle's over, but during the battle. You need to enter into God's rest. You know, medical doctors and psychologists tell us that about the importance of physical rest. We need physical rest. If you don't get physical rest, your body starts to break down. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. You know, you can only go 20, 24 hours a day so long, and then things start to shut down. So we need our rest, amen? Hallelujah. But God wants to take us deeper than that. God wants to take us into His rest. Here's the title of the message. Now, you're going to like this. Now, this was not planned. The title of the message, Gwen, In the Embrace of God.
Can you say that again?
In the Embrace of God. What did you say this morning?
Let God hold you and speak to you as you love
me. Absolutely. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into the book of Hebrews. You have your Bible? Open it up to the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is about encouragement, comfort, and warning. And also, it's about the ministry of Jesus Christ. So we're going to go into the book of Hebrews, and we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 8. And I want you to follow along. A lot of good stuff in here. The book of Hebrews. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now the rest here, God says they shall not enter into my rest. Now he's speaking to the nation Israel when they come out of Egypt. And it was God's will for them to come out and come in. Right? Come out of Egypt and into the promised land. That was God's will. And they saw his works. They saw the miracles that took place in Egypt. Come on. They saw that when they came out, they had the Passover. They went through the water on dry land. Pharaoh and his army was killed. Come on, all these things they saw. And they saw that there was not one sick person out of 1 million, 3 million, however many. There was not one feeble person that came out. Come on, they were all healed. They were all restored. Now, okay, here, picture this. Take 1 million people in this country. Now, how many is starting to get a picture of God's will? 1 million people in the United States. And they're all whole. Now look at 1 million people in the United States, how fragmented they are. How many are sick? How many are missing limbs? How many are having emotional problems? How many are having mental problems in 1 million people? Now I believe that God wants us to go and minister to those people. I think it's God's will for them to be whole. But because those people chose not to trust God, even though they saw him time after time after time. How many ever experienced something from God? How many ever got saved? That's a miracle. That's the biggest miracle of all. Getting saved. Well, maybe not in your life, in my life it was. How many has ever been healed? How many has ever been set free? Those are miracles. You can remember them. You can trust God. But this generation, all the generation over 20, was it 20 years old? Somewhere around there. Because they didn't trust God. You know, it goes back to when the spies went into the promised land and they come back and they said, it's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. And they brought back these grapes slung over their shoulders. Awesome. It's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. But there's giants in the land and they're fortified. And we're like grasshoppers to them. Except for how many?
Two.
Two. Two people trusted God. Two people believed God. See, the other people, they bought into the lie. And so that whole generation that was like over 20 years old when they came out, they all died in the desert. Now, can you imagine all these people? Can you imagine the cemeteries? Or I don't know what they've done with them. But can you imagine as they went through the desert, the whole generation died off? Verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Now that's bringing it home. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hosea 10:2 in the Amplified says, their heart is divided, faithless. Now they must bear their guilt and punishment. So I see this evil heart as a compromised heart. Evil heart of unbelief might include fear, doubt, unbelief, human reasoning, etc. Just don't trust God. Just somehow doubt came in there. Somehow fear came in there. Instead of just trusting God, standing on His Word, just believing God. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, must be pretty important, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. Challenge one another. Stand with one another. Be as concerned with one another as we are for ourselves. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Hold it steadfast. And we can see that steadfast as to the end of our life. Or we can see that steadfast through every battle. Hold it steadfast, the confidence that we have in God. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. Today speaks of a day of hearing the voice of God, and repenting if necessary. Not only hearing, but, you know, if we missed it, we missed it. Fess up. Repent of it. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned? This unbelief, God calls that sin. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. How many want rest? How many is ready to believe? Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of enter into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. How many are standing on promises? How many are rehearsing the promises with God that he has for your life? How many know that all God's promises are yes and amen to those who are in Christ Jesus? So all the promises are ours, right? They're available to us. And so we have to, like, guard our hearts against unbelief about all these promises. How many have stood on a promise, stood on the Word of God, and saw it come to pass? Absolutely. I have. I have seen God come through on health issues when it looked like nothing happened, but I wasn't moved. I have seen God come through with finances when it looked impossible, but it was just like I wasn't fazed because I just believed God. That's a good place to be, to just be able to rest in God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them which heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished before or from the foundation of the world. It's a done deal. The works are finished. But we've got to believe it. We've got to continue on until we can enter in. Amen. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. In the book of Hebrew, there is about 70 to 75 different parts of Hebrews. It goes right back to the Old Testament. Some are direct quotations. Some allude to parts of the Old Testament. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. In Genesis 2:3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works which God created and made. God didn't rest because he was tired. Come on. The rest that God entered into has a much deeper significance than physical rest. So, right at the beginning of the Bible, we see the number 7. The seventh day. And the number seven has to do with finished or complete. Seven is often found in context involving completeness or divine perfection or divine mandate fulfilled. In the 6 days of creation, 6 days of creation had a morning and an evening. Remember, as you read the word, it said in the morning and in the evening, 6 days. The seventh day never ended. God's rest never ended. We're in the seventh day. The same rest that God entered into is available to us. If we're in Him and He's in us, the same rest is available. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached be entered not in because of unbelief. Isn't it something how he keeps rehearsing this about you need to believe. You need to believe to enter into this rest. You need to keep believing to stay in that rest. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for that he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. It's like we do our part and trust God. Paul put it this way in the book of Ephesians. Having done all. Having done all. You know, there are some things we need to do. You know, it's like, we'll just say, well, we could say a lot of different areas. We could say finances. You know, we have to be good stewards of our finances. Right? Say our health, you know? If we really believe that our bodies are the temple of God, we're going to take care of them. If we don't take care of them, we're not going to be as healthy. We need to eat the right foods. We need exercise. Come on, how many go to the gym? How many work? Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes we go to work. That's our gym, right? Hallelujah. And then there's some that they just go to the gym. It's amazing when you go to the gym how many different people you meet. See, it's not only good exercise. Paul said it profits a little. Physical exercise profits a little, but it's also a mission field. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Sounds like it's pretty important. If Hebrews stressed that so much that it's there, it's available to us, but we've got to, you know, trust God, we have to believe God, and it's like a battle to enter into that rest. It's like, once you press through, it's like an invisible shield. Once you press through it, there it is. You're at rest. Now some people may say, you got to be kidding. But how many has been there? How many has pressed through, entered into that rest? Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes the Word of God is just so ingrained in you, so grounded in you, that there's just no doubt. It's just like, God, you said it, I believe it, and it's a done deal. Then other times, it's a little harder. right? But it's still available. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. For out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Romans 8:1. Everybody knows that. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for in, those that are in Christ Jesus. The Greek word is en, not in, it's en. And here's what it means. Positioned at rest. Those who are positioned at rest in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You're at rest in Christ Jesus. How many is gonna be at rest no matter what you're going through? You're determined to be at rest. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to God? God just tells us this. You need to be at rest. You need to trust me. You need to believe me. Even when you're in the midst of the battle, just believe God. Just trust Him. Just stand on His Word. God is faithful. God is true to His Word. God stands behind His Word. What He said, He'll do. That's our God. That's our God. I'm going to ask Linda to come and I have no idea what God's going to do. I'm just done.